And if you would, turn along with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Our text for this morning, or this afternoon, is one verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Peter writes to the church in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Last week, we saw Peter's exhortation to women to be subject to their husbands, and just to make sure the women got it, this morning we heard Paul's statement to women to be subject to their husbands as well. And we will deal with husbands again next week in the morning. But here we have an interesting verse, actually a verse where I actually wrote a paper on this verse my second year seminary. I was dealing with, was it meant for a woman to be a weaker vessel? And we'll talk about that. But here, Peter is telling husbands how they ought to live with their wives. Again, the idea is how we live as those who have part of the new community, part of the new creation, as Christ as our shepherd. And so as wives are to live a certain way, husbands ought to live in a certain way to their wives. And so he says, likewise, husbands, dwell, when it says live with your wives, the word is nice. It's the same word where you get to dwell, you have to dwell with it, and it has that Greek suffix or prefix before it, with. Dwell with your wife, like co-inhabitate, live, like it's the same where we get live in a house. Husbands, live with your wives. And literally it is live with your wives according to knowledge. According to knowledge. According to knowledge. And the question is, I like that as opposed to with understanding. According to knowledge. You have to have there's a knowledge. But what knowledge is Peter speaking of? Is he speaking of the knowledge that we have as we're Christians? In other words, live them understanding who you are as a Christian? Possible. And who they are, yes. Or is it more specific? I think maybe with understanding, maybe can get at it, is maybe with knowledge of who they are. And this, I think, is the correct understanding. And if you think about it, the husband should know his wife. Should know her needs. Should know her frailties. And I think that's what maybe understanding away is getting at in the ESV. You have to have this, you have to know exactly everything about her, especially if you are going to be, as Paul gives her the benefit of how we're to live and care for your wives and wash her with the word. And by the way, as we interpret Peter, we're going to look at Paul. We interpret Paul, we're going to look at Peter, because they're speaking the same relationship. And so, husbands, I want to tell you that as you live with your wives, you need to understand them. You need to know how you can care for them. And so you need to live with them according to knowledge, with knowledge. And then, of course, we have that statement. According to knowledge, as, and again, the ESV says it this way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Showing, to show, to impart, or actually, how about this, to bestow. This word translated honor. Anyone want to guess what word this is? Anyone want to guess what English name we get from this Greek word? Timothy. Timothy, what means? Timothy means honor. And one dictionary calls this estimate of worth, price, or value. A thing of price, collect. Really, and we get this word too, it's translated often, we see it in Revelation, preciousness. Need to see them as precious, showing them the value, high honor, dignity. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Here's where my paper. I wrote a big paper, and I spent most of the paper saying what it did not mean. What weakness did not mean. Had difficulty defining what it did mean. And there's been more writing on it and more thinking. The context in which Peter writes in the Greco-Roman world, let me give you one philosopher's statement about men and women and the differences. By the way, most in the world that Peter writes believed that in a lot of ways men and women had great memory, attention, power, self-control. They both had that. But there was a different understanding of a distinction between the genders. And here's what one says. God made man's body and mind more capable of enduring cold and heat, and journeys and campaigns. And there imposed on him the outdoor task. To the woman, since he has made her body less capable of such endurance, I take it that God has assigned the indoor task. And since he imposed on the woman, the protection of the stores also, knowing that for protection a fearful disposition is no disadvantage, God meted out a larger share of fear to the woman than to the man. And knowing that he deals with the outdoor task, will have to be their defender against any wrongdoer. He meted out to him, again, a large share of courage. How do you like that? in the 21st century. And most exegetes, by the way, when they interpret what the weaker vessel meant, every single one I read say it means they're weak physically. And when I wrote my paper, I said, yeah, he's stating the obvious, at least upper strength, upper body strength. And I tried to take it back to sin and woman there and such, and didn't want to. There's so much you don't want to say what it means for a woman to be weaker. So what does it mean? I really don't know. I'll be honest with you. Okay, Pastor, since you don't know what that means, how do we apply it? Someone's tracking with me. I think the safest way to say is there some way, maybe it's the physical. I tended to think that there's a sense in which the man spiritually had a certain type of thing. That's why women, and I think there's something there, but we don't have to go there. You know where I end up going with this passage? Is here's where Paul can help us in understanding Peter. Paul tells us that the relationship between the man and the wife speaks of the relationship between Christ and his church. And as he says, we'll see that next week. It's that great mystery of how the husband is to treat the church as Christ does. The husband is to treat the wife as Christ does the church in washing her, and that great mystery of presenting her as holy bride. And I think that needs to inform our understanding of Peter here in 3:7. If I were to say to you that the church is a weaker vessel of Christ, you could understand. We are weaker. He is greater. But if I were to tell you as well that Jesus Christ places more honor upon his church, you not only understand that in your mind, but you also understand that in your faith. And so now I'm addressing husbands. We don't have to defend or define exactly what Peter has in mind, because I think it's difficult to find what he means. But here's what he's saying. Husbands, love your wife with understanding as Christ loves his church with understanding. And if you as a husband have understood how he treats you, how Christ treats you, then you are given the imperative of how you are to treat your wife. Not what my hands have done in that last stanza that says, I praise the God of grace, I trust his truth and might. Husbands, do you trust his truth and might? He calls me his. I call him mine. My God, my joy, my light. You need to reflect that same attitude that Christ has for the church for your wife. And I think that's why he uses the word here, weaker vessel. You see, in that sense, we don't need to define what it means for a wife. However, they're weaker, it doesn't really matter. It's a great question of the text. But we don't need to know that to understand the key thing is show honor, show preciousness to the woman, show preciousness to your wife. Know her weaknesses, know her strengths. When she snaps at you, because she tends to do that, how do you treat her? When she gives you good advice or counsel, how do you treat her? And do you listen to her and you do what she says? How about Christ? Does Christ listen to his church and do what they say? Does he use the prayers of his saints? Yes. Sometimes. This is how you are to live your life. And then he says something interesting. Since they are heirs with you. You treat them in a way, since they are heirs with you. I'm going to do a little change here of our understanding. That passage, that verse, that since they are heirs with you, can be translated differently. It can be translated also as. That would be a more literal translation, also as, two words. And the reason why I believe that's a better translation of that is I think there's a parallel here between Peter's advice to husbands and his advice to wives. Remember last week we saw Peter's advice to wives? And we saw that he said, even if they do not obey the word. We understood that Peter is addressing, again, Christians living in exile within this Greco-Roman world in which maybe some were converted and some weren't. And if the wife was converted, she was to live obeying the husband, even their faith, so that even their obedience, that they may be won. I think some commentators, I tend to agree with them, believe that in verse 7, Peter again is just also relating to husbands and wives, and some of these wives may not be believers. He hasn't made a strict change to say, now I'm only speaking to Christian couples. I think they get that from the translation, since they are heirs with you. They're, you see, that means Christians. But if it's translated even as heirs, then he could be saying to Christian husbands who have wives who are not believers, as you treat them as Christ would, as you're obedient to Christ and caring for your wife, you treat them even as they are an heir, that may make them also an heir. That you as well are giving the gospel to them. See, even as a, by the way, the heir there is, it's co-heir, it's one word, a co-heir. As they co-live with, so they also co-heir. This would, again, one comment says this. This would then indicate that a husband is to treat his wife as if she were a sister in Christ. The unbelieving wife is to be accorded the same respect as a fellow Christian. By the way, in Greek society, where the husband goes, the wife goes. So in society, when a husband was converted, even if the wife did not really convert but just submitted and went to church with them, which is what would have been expected, the society would have thought that they were a believer in that society. And so this person goes on to say, the unbelieving wife is to be accorded the same respect as a fellow Christian with the hope of winning her to authentic faith. The believing wife, on the other hand, deserves to be treated as a fellow believer despite her gender. Speaking again to cultural context. If she is a Christian, her status as co-heir levels the spiritual ground between believing husband and believing wife, opening the door to wider social transformation. And so I think it's true. I would translate it also as co-heirs with co-heirs of the grace of life. And then he adds this, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, that is not the only reason why husbands should do this, as I indicated. But it is true that if husbands do not live this way, if husbands do not obey this, that their prayers will be hindered. Husbands, if you don't treat your wives as you ought to treat your wives, your prayers, it's a strong word to say prayers. The prayers will be blocked. And by the way, when it says your prayers here, it's plural. Is he speaking to husbands as if all husbands' prayers? That's possible. It worked for America. But it can also speak of the husband and wife praying together. And you see how that would hinder prayers, wouldn't it? Practically speaking, husbands not treating their wives as they ought to. Imagine them praying together. Does God hear the prayer of sinners? Yes. Including husbands, yes. But I think piety and the consideration here, I think it's primarily is the husbands and wives together praying together. If your relationship is not what it should be, then your prayers would not be what they should be. And yet, it could also mean that the prayers of the husband as they pray individually to God. We think about when someone has something and at the altar, remember our Lord reminds somebody, if somebody has something against you, to go back and deal with them and have that relationship right before you give the offering. Same principle here. But you see, the exhortation here again is what you'll find as I deal with husbands and wives. I think the scripture tells us. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. In an understanding way, be honest. Be devoted to them. Usually, men, especially when we're younger, we get married for what we can get. Marriage is good. Marriage is great. You do. There's a great benefit. But from a Christian understanding, from a new creation understanding, marriage is costly. And I do believe for a man, it should be more costly than for a woman. Christ came and sought his holy bride. He suffered to obtain her. And he cares for her. And I think that thought permeates what Peter says here to husbands. Husbands, cohabitate, live with your wives in an understanding way. Do the work, showing honor. And by the way, what happens to Christ's church? It reflects his glory. And that's what will happen with the husbands and wives. It will be at the last day, of course. But it tells us, weaker vessel may indicate in some ways it's going to be hard for you as a husband to deal with your wife. Don't know, it depends on how we take it. But your motivation should always be your Savior, should always be your Lord. And if you do what you're called to do, and these are specific understandings of what it means to live as a Christian, and then look at what we'll see in verses 8 and following, of what generally should happen as we live. As we live our life, continuing to be under the oversight of the shepherd of our souls, Jesus Christ. And this one short verse tells husbands how they ought to live as under their shepherd, as he continues to care for us. I think, husbands, you care for your wife, because in caring for your wife, you're reflecting that care. You're displaying that care. Let's go to our God now in prayer.